Very good. And I'm proud to call him my friend. I'm proud to be able to work with him and just talk with him. We talk regularly, every other week at least. We meet together, and I'm just so proud of this man. And talking about somebody who put in the work to get where he's at. Super proud of Tyrone. I want you to see what God's done in Tyrone's life.
Hi, my name is Daniel Tyrone Hawkins, and I came to Hope Church right after visiting North Georgia's finest bed and breakfast, Cherokee County Detention Center.
The day Tyrone showed up at the church, it was really a God moment. I was actually meeting with somebody else at the time, and he shows up, and we just talked. And you know, I've heard that story before. You know, I want to change. I want to do something different. I want to see change in my life, and I don't want to go back. And Tyrone is like the. He came over and I paid him to do some work around the church, and we went out to lunch if I remember correctly, and we talked even some more, and but here's another part of this story that wasn't in the video, so I hope it's okay if I tell this, Tyrone. So through a set of circumstances, actually Tyrone had to go back and spend a little bit of time in prison jail. And he had to go back and spend some time. But while he was in there, a couple of things. While he was in there, he basically said, "I'm just going to be." And he led Bible studies in jail. He did all kind of stuff. Like he became like prison ministry from like behind the bars, right? So jail ministry behind the bars, and I was just so proud of him watching him work, and then. When he was being released, he was released at what, like 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that? 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a whole horde of people from Hope Church that was there to greet him as they came out. And I remember sitting there and just watching all these people show up to see this guy get released out of jail. And just the love that people showed Tyrone. And let me tell you, that's what Hope Church, that's my vision for Hope Church, is that we would be that kind of support. Was he all free and clear and everything? No, man. We have to love people right where they're at, right? And so I remember there was about 10 people there. It was like midnight or after midnight. People on a weeknight. It wasn't even on a Friday. It was a weeknight, and people were hanging around to. And then I've watched people come around and show love to them and help them through and talk them through. And Tyrone now is he's working at a house for, I should let you tell this, but he's working at a house, because before that video, you didn't have it. So he's working at a rehab house right now. He's getting his hours so that he can, you know, because you have to have hours to get your certification, right? So he's getting his hours and getting paid to get his hours all at the same time, so he could to work in a rehab facility. and he's just done the work, right? There's a your part and there's a God part. Tyrone has done every bit of the God of his part, and we've watched God work in his life. And Tyrone, I can't be more proud of you. I can't be more proud of what God's done in your life, and I'm looking forward to the future that God has for you. And we fight. Yeah, amen. And we fight with you, amen. We fight locked arms together as a church to help people and walk people through and to show acceptance and love. So we're gonna finish up our message. This message is a little different than a lot of the messages, but we want to start with our scripture that we've been in. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And it says this. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We've talked about a lot of things about the subject of hope. We talked about the fact that hope is not optimism. Hope is not optimism. Hope is a God-centered, no other way to say it, right? It's hope that things, that God will work an impossible situation out to bring things to your life, right? Optimism has this kind of mentality that I can probably figure out a way to get this all to happen, but that is not like hope, like, right? We talked about Abraham. It says, and he says, against all hope, in hope believed. Like, it was impossible in Moses. It was impossible from the natural. There was nothing that Moses could have done in that situation that Craig talked about earlier. But God delivered him, right? There was no way that Abraham and Sarah could have that baby. But you know what? God worked it out. Amen. There wasn't anything that they could do, but God came through for them. And so we talked about how if we're going to trust in God, we talked about how we need to sow in our relationship with God, right? We talked about the fact that if we need to know God, like I was talking about earlier in the service, if we need to know God, we need to sow into those areas. The Bible says, those who sow to the Spirit reap of the Spirit. Those who sow according to the flesh reap of the flesh. So if all we ever do is sow to our own flesh desires and our own stuff, God says, listen, don't mock me. Don't wonder why you have a bad relationship with God. It's like the story of the two driving down the road in the back in the... Some of y'all heard this story. If you stay here long enough, you hear all my stories over and over again and all my jokes. Because I got like three. So it's the story of the... You remember the old pickup trucks with the bench seats? It's the story of the two. They're driving down the road and they're driving, you know, just going down the old country road, and he's sitting there, you know, he's still got his old, you know, single seat, bench seat truck, you know. God, that would be great. I'd like to have one of those about right now. But I'm just driving down the road, and they pass by this other couple, and the other couple, they're all snuggled up next to each other. They're all got their arm around each other, and they're like, oh, man. And the wife looks over at the husband and says, you know what? She goes, you remember when we used to do that? Remember when we used to drive down the road, and we were all snuggled up together? And he looks over and he goes, I didn't move. So God says, like, I didn't move. I didn't move. So to your relationship, we draw near to God and he draws near to us. That's the principle of the word. So if we sow to our flesh, we're going to reap of our flesh. We sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap of the Spirit. So we talked about that to an extent. I want to talk about a little bit a different direction. So if we want to see things that God we hope for, we need to trust in a God that we know. That was kind of the point to that whole message. So I wanted to tell real quick, real briefly, my story of things that I hoped for when I was younger. So I will actually turn 50 this year. I'm 49. I'll turn 50 in June. Woo! Somebody said woo. Yeah. Woo! But welcome aboard. Thank you. Welcome aboard. Yeah. So I don't feel like, you don't feel older, right? It's going to be that kind of service, isn't it? Thanks, Johan. Welcome back. Good to see you again. So glad to see you. Don't look a day over 48. Okay, so when I was younger, about the end of my teenage years, actually probably I was probably more 20 years old, I remember that God started working into my life. And I remember telling my mom, My mom, for you don't know my history, my dad passed away when I was 16 years old. And so I didn't really have a dad in like real critical times of my life. And my mom kind of checked out, you know, understandably. She just lost her husband, so she kind of checked out. So it was kind of a difficult situation for me when I was younger. But I remember going to my mom. I'd gone to this service, and all of a sudden God started dealing with me and started showing me like about doing ministry, right? Some of you know my testimony. My testimony is that I was, before I'd really given my life fully to the Lord, I was in a car with another guy. We were both hammered. We were both drunk. And he looks over and he goes, "Dave, what do you want to do with your life?" And we were drunk going home, exactly. And he said, and I said, "You know what I want to do?" And I was hammered, right? I wasn't serving God. I wasn't even thinking about God. I said, "You know what?" I said, "I want to play bass and preach the gospel. That's what I want to do." Like it just came right out of my mouth. See, the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. Like God calls you, right? And so, so that was already in me. So we started going to this Bible study. I gave my life over to the Lord. And then God really started, now that started really coming down, right? And so I remember I went to my mom. I said, "You know what, Mom, I think I want to be a pastor." And my mom went, that's a terrible idea. that's a terrible idea. And my mom had gone through some stuff and all kind of church stuff. But she goes, "That's a terrible idea." Some of you know you've been through church stuff. You go, "That's a terrible idea." And so I remember that was like crushing to me, right? It was like one of those things where you go like, "Hey, I'm going to tell somebody." You ever tell somebody your dream and they go, "Never." Like, you know what I'm saying? You ever tell somebody your dream and they just crush it? Like, "That'll never happen. Not you," right? You know? So I remember I had this dream and I had this thing and I had this, I wanted to preach. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to pastor. It was in my heart at a young age. My little Methodist self. So what did I do? I started serving downtown in a street ministry that was through Metro Bible Study, which is a Bible study that was back in 91. And so we did that. We went downtown and we were there every Friday night for like 2 years. Every single Friday night, you could have found me downtown talking with the homeless people. I knew so many homeless people that I remember going to concerts downtown, just going downtown and driving down the street towards the Omni. and homeless people, "Dave, how are you doing?" I was like, "Yeah, I know all the homeless people down here." But it was great. That's just the way it was. I just served. And then I would play bass at my little church up in Canton, Georgia. And they let me play. It was pretty amazing. It must have been desperate. But I did that for years. Years. And then at 24, I went to a school in Tulsa, Oklahoma that was Rhema Bible Training Center. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I learned from some of the best Bible teachers that you could possibly know. If you know anything about, some of you may know who Kenneth Hagin is. He actually taught several of my classes, so him personally. And it was just a wonderful time. And so when they graduate you, they basically say, "Hey, go change the world," right? And you're like, "I'm charged, I'm ready to go." And I'd met my wife, and man, she was on fire. I met Julie, she was on fire for God, and we were ready to go. And I found ourselves back at this church that actually went through a kind of a church split. It was kind of a bad situation. And then we found ourselves going to a different church. And it was a church over in Roswell, and that we served there for 18 years, doing young adult and youth ministry. And something in there wouldn't go away. But it was 18 years. They had a great youth ministry, had a great young adult ministry. Things were going great. And in 2012, God called us to start Hope Church with a crazy set of circumstances. I'll tell it real quick. So I'd always had this dream, like, of starting a church. And Actually, not even starting a church, but the pastor. Like, I didn't want to plant a church. That's crazy. It is. But, you know, just maybe, you know, 18 years of experience doing youth and young adult ministry, you got to be qualified to do something, right? Yeah, that's the truth. Whoever's laughing, that's the truth. But I remember I would talk to Julie, and Julie was like, I don't know about pastoring a church. That's the way kind of she was at that point. And God spoke to her. And my heart was, listen to this. My heart was, I'm not doing anything without my wife. I'm not forcing my wife to do anything because I need her to be alongside. If this ever comes to pass, I need her to be alongside. Be wise, right? You got to understand. Go start something, drag her and say, this is what God's called us to do. Woman, let's go. You got to be wise, right? You got to understand. You got to do it correctly. Amen? So God spoke to my wife while she was on a mission trip in Africa. And she came back. She calls me on the tarmac in Liberia. David, we're gonna do it. You felt like we were supposed to do. We're gonna do it. God spoke to me while I'm here, and we're gonna do it. And I gotta go. They're about to take off. Bye. Click. I was like, now I have like 20 hours of plane flights to process. What? Like this came out of the blue, right? And so we told our pastors that when she got back. We told our pastors, and we did an extended separation. We talked about and we did like a really good like break apart from that church and start this one. But the journey has not been what I expected. If you'd have told my little 21-year-old self how long it would have taken for some dreams, for some hopes to be realized, probably would have quit. Because when you're 21 years old, 40-something is ancient. And it's forever in time. If you had told me what kind of church that I'm blessed to pastor today, it would have been nowhere on my radar. Nowhere on my radar. That I would love small church, that I would love the family environment that we have here at Hope Church, that thought wasn't even on my radar. Because back then it was all about the new mega churches and this church and that church growing to be, you know, right? I'm going to read two scriptures. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. And in John 10:10 says this, the thief does not come only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. When we think about spiritual warfare, right? We think about spiritual warfare and we think about fighting the fight of faith, right? We think about, you know, speaking the name of Jesus. We need speaking the word like we talked about last week, binding the devil and taking your authority of who you are in Christ. Those are all awesome ways that we fight the good fight of faith. But sometimes we miss it in these areas that are not so fun. When you hope in things, when you wish in things, whenever you have a God-centered hope, rather. We talk about the fight. We talk about beating up the devil. But then it says in Hebrews chapter 6, a different way for us to fight. He says in Hebrews 6 and verse 11, starting there, it says, we want each of you to show the same diligence. Ugh. To the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy. Oh man, this is a Sunday morning. You're supposed to be upbeat and happy. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those through faith and patience. Inherit what has been promised. when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no other, there was no greater one for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. The things we hope for are not the things that happen when you want them to happen that I've found in my life. The promise that was given to me when I was young didn't fully realize until 20 years later, 20 plus years later. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise to become realized. I want to show you, I think you put this up on the screen. I want to show you, and if we didn't, that's okay. I want to show you that a pattern of life, do you have this? That's okay. I want to show you the pattern of life of faith that require usually happens in this kind of sequence. So it's not out there, just listen. The promise, the excitement of that promise. He's putting it up there now. I see him. He's on my screen. I'll wait. You got it in a second? The promise, the excitement, the waiting, the doubting, the testing, the refining, and then the reinforcement, and then the eventual fulfillment. So often, the things that God's put on the inside of your heart, they fall in these lines. It's so true. The promise, the excitement, the waiting, the doubting, the testing, and all everybody's favorite, the refining, the reinforcement, and the eventual fulfillment. I can tell you my life, and my dream, my hopes, and what God promised fell in these lines, without question. So true. I spent way too much time in the testing and the refining. If we ever hope to serve God and to be true, listen, true men and women of maturity and faith, we need to understand this huge thing about patience and about that service and about waiting and about allowing God to work in you the things that you need worked in you. If I started a church when I was 21 years old, disaster. You know why? Because if I would have started at 21, you know who it would have been all about? Me. I used to say this. I used to say, man, and it sounds so kind of holy and kind of, but it's off. I said, I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad God forgave me my sins. I'm glad God put me in a good place with God. But I'm almost more glad that God gave me a plan and a purpose for my life. It's off. Because what happened for me is all of a sudden my calling became my identity. And the hope that God put, the promise that God put, became my identity. How did that work out? Awful. Awful. Because when ministry's great, man, I'm good. When we have a low attendance at youth, we have something happen at youth or young adults, then I tank. Because my identity is in, not in God. My identity is his calling. My identity is what I do. My identity can be like in your job. Your identity has to be in him. And let me tell you, that took a long time. It took a moral failure for me to realize that. It took a time where I almost lost my marriage because of it. What's that called? It's called refining. refining. It was so, I completely honest, guys, listen, I laid down everything. When my marriage about tanked, when I was going through my own stuff, I told God, this is what I told him. My wife. My wife's anointed. She's a wonderful, amazing woman of God. I laid it down. I laid it down, the calling. I said, God, I don't even care about it anymore. Honestly. And you can say that all you want, but it was real. I said, God, you can have it. I don't even care about it anymore. I give it back to you. If you ever want to give it back to me, so be it. That's fine, whatever. But God, I give it back to you. And this is what I tell God. If you, any of you knows Joyce Meyer, I said, God, I will be the David Meyer. Who's David Meyer? Joyce Meyer's husband. That everybody knows, right? Nobody knows who David Meyer is. I said, if you want me to do that, I said, I'll do it. And during that time where God was restoring me, I did nothing but serve my wife in youth ministry. I was there every time those, she was, because she became the youth pastor. And she started doing the youth, and she did it better than I did, and it was amazing. Because my wife is a youth, like, magnet. So I just served and served and served. And it was during that time, actually I was blessed to start doing young adult ministry and that kind of thing. It was during that time where Julie got that word when she was in Liberia. But it wasn't until, like, I laid it all down. What is God doing? He's refining me. I would never be the person, whatever God's brought me to, I would never be that person without that refining. Why? Because I had things in my own life that were jacked up. I had things in my life that once I got to where God called me to be, I would never have been able to sustain it because of weaknesses and stuff in me. So never, don't ever push back the waiting. Because in the waiting is the refining. And then, yeah, you'll go through doubts. You'll go through excitement. And I went through that testing. I went through that refining. And then the reinforcement of the promise. It was almost like God just went, here it is. You gave it back to me. Let me give it to you properly. So it's just some things to consider about your hopes. Is we need to understand what culture we live in. We live in the instant gratification and let me say it like this, instant gratification and impatience are the hallmark of our culture. If we have to wait more than 5 seconds for that ad to go off so we can watch our YouTube video, like you're ready to throw, just forget it. I'm not even going to watch it. Like, I can't believe they made me watch a 15-second commercial. We do instant success. Like, we want the 3 easy steps, right? We want the instant weight loss plan. I want the pill you can give me so it'll just, I'm transformed by that one pill. And just about anything. We want the instant gratification. I want my marriage to change overnight. I want my child to come back to God overnight. I want these things to change. I want my finances to change now. My boss does not appreciate me now. I don't understand why. I want this promotion now. I don't know if you read your Bible. That's just not the way it happens. That's not Bible, right? Yeah, God does instant healings, instant stuff. Things happen suddenly. But for the most part, is this? No, I'm going to take that on a different direction. The waiting, it's like Tom Petty said, the waiting is the hardest part. It's the hardest part. In our lives, the waiting is the hardest part. Like, I don't even like, lines. Like, you go to line. It's really revealing when you go to like a store, like a Target or wherever you shop and everything, and or a grocery store, and you're like more than 2 people deep. this is going to cost me like 2 minutes. And that poor cashier's going, you know, just as fast as she can. They got every technology she can do to make that stuff go as fast as they can. And we're like, this is going to be 2 minutes. We watch Netflix. You know why we not watch Netflix? Because there's no commercials. I don't want to wait. That is not God. What's that?
Skip the intro.
Yeah, you can skip the intro. You can binge watch. You don't even have to watch the intro. The next thing that we need to realize is that we need to understand. We need to see it from God's perspective. And God is annoyingly persistent about maturing us. It's annoying how persistent He is at making us and watching us mature. Remember the goal. The goal is not even your dreams and your hopes. The goal of our life as a believer, the goal of our life as a believer is maturity. That's the goal. Till we all come to the truth, right? The understanding of the truth. That we may be mature, lacking nothing. The goal is that God wants to mature us. We say it like this, that God wants to mature us as believers so that we can accurately represent Him in the earth. You know what God wants you to be at your job? An accurate representative of Him. Before He wants your promotion. Before He wants all of the accolades, right? He wants your maturity. He wants you to be like Him. Wouldn't it be great? I know this will blow your mind. Wouldn't it be great? What would the church look like if we were more concerned about us growing in our relationship and growing in who we are and growing into His image? We're more interested in that than we were doing our own life and our own dreams and our own goals and our own blah, blah, blah. What would people say about the church then if we actually looked like Jesus? And we actually acted like Jesus. I've said it for years. One of the most important things that you can study in the Bible is the life of Jesus. I want to know how He acted. I want to know how He interacted with other people. It's not our dreams. It's not your dream. God is interested from His perspective. Yeah, He's going to bless you. And He's going to help you see some of those hopes that He's put in you come to pass. But understand, that's a side issue with Him. His number one issue is growing us up into His image. This is not a popular message. But it's at the core of the gospel. It's the core of the Word of God. To grow us up, to be like Him. Remember, God created Adam and Eve in His image. Sin came in and ruined that. What does God still want? People in His image. He wants image bearers in the earth. The next thing we need to ask is this. Is your dreams, is that thing that you're trusting God for, is that thing that you're hoping for, is it a God hope? Or is it just a dream? See, these are really cool things because if in that process that God does in the waiting, that God does refine us to get exactly who we need to be and to get us to where His will is. I said before, this is not the church that I had in mind when I was 21. But let me tell you, sitting right here when I'm 49, it's exactly the church. I wouldn't want anything else. Do we want to grow? Absolutely. And we will. Do we want to reach more? Absolutely. And we will. But I love what God's creating here. I love what God's doing here. I love I love you guys, the people God's brought into this church. I love the stories like Tyrone. I love it wasn't just me, right? It was you guys loving Tyrone. You guys loving Amber. You guys loving the Willoughbys. Watching God work in each one of their lives through the family, the community of the church. It's been amazing. It's been wonderful. And then the others that are in this room. Oh yeah, Philip. watching God grow Philip and ready to take on the world, how just restoring him. If it's a God hope, man, go for it. But God, allow God to work that thing in you. And then the next thing is this. Remember that you have an enemy. You do have an enemy. And that enemy will try to stop you every step of the way. Whether it's a new career, whether it's getting out of debt, whatever it may be, that you will have an enemy. And he will oppose you. We do not live this life unopposed. And how that works in different, it works different ways. A lot of times it just works in discouragement. This will never happen. In your own mind, right? In your own heart. This will never happen. That's a dream. That'll never happen. Or he'll get you riled up or messed up into sin and all kind of other things that keeps you from being the person God's called you to be. He'll try to get our culture and the culture of our world in you so that you look at stuff from a wrong perspective. Because the enemy is not just, you know, he's not just a, let me get him to drink a little bit. Let me get him to do this a little bit. He's also into the, let me see if I can doubt, let me see if I can get him away from God a little bit. Let me just see, well, you know, you don't have to, yes, Lord. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. I mean, you can miss several, two, three, four, you know. You can go like, you know, 15 out of the year. You're good, right? But see, when it's a God dream, then it's going to be a God make it come to pass. See, the enemy is really good at what he does in every area. Your discouragement, our laziness, not doing what we know we should do. He's really good at drawing that kind of stuff out of it. And you watch, you'll dream. That's why I'm so impressed with Tyrone. There's been times when Tyrone would come and we would talk and there's everything says quit. Everything told him to quit. There's another guy in this room, I won't mention him by name. I was talking to him this week, and I said, man, what describes you? Like, what's your, I probably shouldn't say it, but what's your key? And actually, before he said anything, I told him, I go, you know what your key is? Whatever it takes. It's whatever it takes. I love it. You know how you wage spiritual warfare? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If you're involved with sin, cut it out. Jesus said it like this. Your right hand causes you to sin, lop it off. It's better for you to go into eternity maimed. That's what Jesus said. Harsh. I mean, you think, we think, like, what if that was true? Like, you walk into eternity and you're like, no hand. I was like, this is what it took, bro. Hey, I'm here. I ain't got no hand. I lift my hand in the sanctuary. But whatever it takes, listen to what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of what God's called for you. If it's a God dream, lay hold of it. Whatever it takes, don't let anything ruin that for you. Your life, don't let unforgiveness enter into your thinking. Unforgiveness will stop it every time. Love, right? But we don't think about those things when we talk about fighting the good fight. Because especially if you're a charismatic, the only thing that means is taking authority over the devil. Maybe we need to take authority over ourselves. I know this isn't good. I know this isn't, man, I know that we will probably not have very many listens to on our podcast for this one. But let me tell you something. This is the missing thing that our churches desperately need to hear. It doesn't happen overnight. Some of these things, they don't happen overnight. Some of these things, they don't happen just because it's a wish and a hope. Some things happen because you go through the process that God works in you. And you understand that it is more important that I grow into His image than anything else. That's the goal. That's the goal. That I'll be transformed into His image. And the good thing is, He's so good. He's so good that the same thing He promised Tyrone, you watch. You watch God bring it to pass. Tyrone, when do you want this to happen? Like tomorrow? Is it going to happen tomorrow? No. I wrote this down. In the waiting, be patient and enduring. And don't give up. Don't give up. You ever seen that picture of the frog being eaten by the stork? You ever see that? Frog's halfway down the stork's neck, and all you can see coming out of the stork's mouth is the hands around the stork's throat. It's like, never give up. Never give up. I know I'm halfway in the stork's digestive system, but never give up. I know it seems like it'll never work for you, it'll never happen for you, and God's not there, and you wonder what's going on, and let me tell you something, never give up. Never give up. Never surrender, right? Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, some of y'all know who that is. So Romans 8, 37, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. How do you fight the fight of hope? How do you fight this fight? How do you fight the fight of faith? How do you lay hold of eternal life? Through faith and patience. Because really, the very definition of faith means it's not instant. Faith is the walking through. If it was instant, you wouldn't need faith. The person who comes up, gets prayed for, an instant manifestation of healing, they're healed. Okay, get up and go. Woo, awesome. But the person who has to walk out their faith. Faith, and by definition, has time. Don't give up. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Lay hold of eternal life. He says this one more time in Hebrews chapter 6. We want you to show the same diligence. Everybody say diligence. Diligence. To the very end. So that what you hope for may be fully realized. Bow your heads with me, and worship team, you can come on up. Let me just speak to you while your heads are bowed. And just say, my desire for you is that you would know Him. Is that you would follow Him. The Bible says that he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. I want to do it His way. I want to follow God. And maybe you're in this room and you say, yeah, I've been looking for that instant gratification, instant kind of thing. I'm not telling you not to trust. I'm not telling you not to believe. I'm not telling you not to speak the word. I'm not telling you not to battle the devil. You need to do all those things. I want to just see this from a different perspective this morning. And know that what God has promised you, I believe He's going to bring it to pass. I believe, as we conclude, this hope, there is hope for your situation. That God is still on the throne. God is still a miracle-working God. God is still the God of all hope. And His desire is fulfillment of those things that are in your heart that God's put in there. So what does it take? You do your part. Do what you know to do every day. But David, what if it takes 2 or 3 years? Is it worth it if it comes to pass? Is the waiting worth it? So God, we look to You and we trust You. And we ask You, God. We ask You, Father, to work in us. Help us. Give us that patience that we need. Help us to see things from Your vantage point. And God, help us to be diligent in the everyday as we walk this out, as we wait, as we work it through. As we do things Your way, change us, mold us, make us, and dare I say, refine us so that we can be the people that You want us to be. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's all stand.